Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here with us. That's right. You heard him right on Homegrown Live Improv. Is there any other way? I guess so, because if you're listening to the podcast, it's not live, but it's still funny and it's still having a good time. Joel Jones, Big Blue Door. Because we got everybody here with us. Marjorie Ruderman, Susan Gorman, Rachel Showwater, Keaton Ray. You know, let's have Joel Jones here with us for just a sec.
I think, is this thing on up here? I've got this higher tech mic up that I'm on. Is that working?
It sounds like it, because I can hear you through my headphones.
Oh, great. Well, hi, Rick. Thanks for having us on.
Well, you know, I don't know who wouldn't want to have you on, Joel, because, you know, everybody in town wants to have you on. You're all over town. How many different places have you been on? Big Blue Door. Every time I turn around, I go to the website, bigbluedoor.com. Is that correct?
That's not correct, actually. It's bigbluedoor.org.
So let's see. Let's start.
Also called org.
Pencil and paper. Please don't use a pen because you'll have to correct it. Bigbluedoor.org. That'll be the first mistake I've already made. We've only been on for 3 minutes.
One of our key lessons is there are no mistakes in improv. Every mistake is an opportunity.
Oh, okay. So two. Mocked. Make that two. So how many different venues at Big Blue Door in the area?
Well, of course, wherever your dreams can go. But in real life, we perform once a month at the third Thursday at Sevo Coffee. And we also do a lot of First Friday shows in McGuffey Arts Center, where we have a studio. We also sometimes have performed at Belmont Arts Collaborative, which is over a fairly new performance space that's in the old Kathy's Produce on Carlton. I guess showing I'm old time Charlottesville by calling it the old Kathy's Produce. We other places in town, we've done Crozet, and we've gone to Cider Works, and we've done to other places too. So you may find us anywhere that we may appear in your dreams.
Bigbluedoor.org. So you can go there. And we're going to be talking about improv and sketch comedy.
Yeah, we do three major things. We do improv, we do sketch comedy, and we do true stories. And we brought here some wonderful improvisers from, most of them are from one of our teams, Feminine Hijinks. We also brought a token guy from another team. just call him Token Guy. All these are all improvisers that have performed with our fall shows. Probably be continuing on in January when we come back with our winter run.
Hijinks. Yeah. Is that something you have to teach, or is that something that you're born with?
It is definitely all taught. A long form improv is about using your own weirdness, which everyone has, and your own perception of reality and figuring out how to create scenes out of that. So we don't really, it's not like learning jokes or, you know, what's the deal with watermelons? You know, we don't. We don't really do that.
What is the deal with watermelons?
So it's a different kind of thing. But everyone brings their own individual stuff, and as they, you know, do it for longer, then I think one thing that's wonderful is people go through the stages of being very individualistic, and then becoming, you know, kind of getting their craft down, and then eventually becoming more individualistic again, finding their own kind of voice, their own way of approaching things.
All right, so
it's incredible. Right now, I just want to say that we're having this discussion, but in the studio right now, there's so many microphones being moved around because there's so many people in this space. Several people's feet are in other people's faces.
That's funny.
What's the deal with feet and faces?
watermelon.
Did you write that as a sketch, part of your sketch comedy before you came in?
It's my notes here. Let me.
All right. So we do have the folks from Big Blue Door. Joel Jones and I have been talking. This is Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm sure that was a very progressive joke. Joel Jones here with us today. Also with us, Susan Gorman, Marjorie Ruderman, Rachel Showalter, and Keaton Ray. Dan, do we have all the feet out of faces at the moment? Maybe not, but we have all the microphones working today. So, Joel, we have the crew here. You were going to start with some improv, correct?
We didn't have any plan, but we're happy to.
Well, you can't plan improv.
We'll let people introduce themselves and tell us something, one thing about themselves. We go around, so you'll hear some different voices.
All right, so I'm going to step back, or at least turn my microphone down low, and I'll let you take over with some improv here.
Oh, well, let's follow my plan. Just say something about yourself first, Guthrie.
I'm Marjorie Ruderman, and I have been doing improv with Big Blue Door for a year and a half, and it's really fun. What cool. else can you say about it?
I'm Rachel Showalter, and I've been with Big Blue Door just under a year, but prior to that, I did some improv in Chicago and D.C. and here in Charlottesville years and years ago.
I'm Keaton Ray. I do some television and film in the area. Grew up doing theater, and now that I'm doing television and film, I needed that live theater fix, and now for 2 years I've been doing improv with Joel and Big Blue Door. It's awesome.
I'm Susan Gorman, and I've been with Big Blue Door for about 2 years, and I had never done or seen any improv before I signed up, but I was really looking for something to do, so that's how I wound up here.
So she's
settled. I haven't found
for
anything
this.
Better to do, so.
Free time is the basis of all art, right? Let's do something. Let's do one form we do a lot with improv, we do a thing called the living room, where people will tell true stories a little bit, and then we'll spin scenes out. So I just want to show y'all, we'll do a bunch of quick little stories, and then we'll just talk a little bit about scenes that people could take out of it. You know what I mean? So give me a one word, any word at all.
Dog.
Dog. Okay, cool. So let's hear like three stories about a dog, inspired by the word dog, and that's... And we'll show you what we do next.
So when I was a little girl, I was 5 years old, I had a dog named Pepper, and she was a Chihuahua mix. And she was my very first dog, and I got her as a puppy. She was so small, she could fit into a teacup. I just loved her so much. But she had this weird thing where she would eat anything that hit the floor. So Barbie doll shoes, paper clips, stick pins even, all kinds of coins and denominations, and they actually put her in the newspaper because she had several operations where they had to remove the change and the various things that she had swallowed. So I think one of them was like $1.67 total in change.
I was walking my dog on a trail one time, and I had her off of leash, and she is really good about that, and I can kind of call her back, but you always come across other people walking their dogs, too. And we came across this lady walking her dog on a leash, and she was approaching us and was like, "My dog is not good with other dogs. My dog is," and she was like really scared, and I was like, "Well, mine is," And she was like, "It doesn't matter." And she was just freaking out. And that was the first time I'd seen anybody just totally freaking out on the trail. And lesson learned, even though you like your dog, some other people don't.
Did it attack?
No.
Oh, you just moved away.
It didn't. It was just, it was like we like kind of steered clear of it.
So nothing happened.
It didn't even seem that ferocious. It seemed like she wasn't good with other dogs. Her dog was like, I'm actually fine.
Being on the trail reminds me of years ago, I used to roller skate with the Charlottesville Derby Dames, and I was relearning how to skate. So there's a Rivanna hiking trail, and a part of it's paved. So I went out there by myself, and I had all my knee pads and my elbow pads and my helmet and everything, and I was skating along, and then it kind of got downhill, and then it got kind of scary, and a little pebble got in my way. Uh-oh. And my roller skate caught on it, and I flew through the air and landed flat on my stomach. And people saw me, and they were really sweet. Oh. But I was so shook up, I took off my skates, and I walked in my socks. It was winter, too, all the way back to my car.
Cool. So now, if we do a show, we do, I'll give you a couple more stories like this, and then the people will do scenes pulling things from the stories, like points of view or locations or relationships. We don't play out the story because you just heard it. So we're not going to have a bunch of scenes with Chihuahua. Well, sometimes we will have scenes for that. But in an ideal world of improv, you would not have a scene with a Chihuahua being operated on. But you have any, you want to shoot?
Well, I was going to say the Chihuahua might be talking, though. Usually if it's an animal in the scene, they might talk, because otherwise it's just weird to see somebody wagging around on the stage.
She said her Chihuahua could fit in a teacup, and I thought it would be fun to play out a tea party scene.
Would you like a bit of, bit of Chihuahua?
Welcome to the tea party, ladies and gentlemen.
Dog biscuits.
Or hey, I ate $1.68. What'd you eat?
So would you, you know, how about a piece where one person is forced to, where you're forced to go in order, where like Joel goes first, and the last word that Joel uses, Susan is forced to start with that word next.
We have, there's games like that, various improv games, and we have used things similar to that in training. And we use things, I know that there's some groups that do perform those kinds of like, you got a clipboard, you say, could we have a name of a kind of festival? Mm-hmm. And then someone else will say, you know, okay, let's have two places where people might be uncomfortable. And then, you know, let's add a boat. And then you put the people in that situation. Okay, Keaton and Mary, come out and sit in the boat. You know, and but we don't really do that. It's just not the art form that we do. And so we're really looking for what's interesting about to you listening to that those stories and how you can pull those things out and make something of them. So we don't really. So the order would be, most people who've listened have already forgotten those stories, but we've still kind of remembered them. We've trained ourselves to remember things better and to pull things out. And so we could still go through and sort of do scenes from each one and do that for, you know, 40 minutes or something and explore those ideas that we get from the stories. So you're kind of teaching yourself to listen better. You're teaching yourself to be aware of what you're interested in, you know, and to be comfortable with that and be comfortable with your own weirdness, your own judgments of other people. And
I've just realized how interested in Chihuahuas and teacups I am. Just embracing this newfound passion.
One thing, I just hear teacups and that makes me think of I've got this weird fetish where I love how like things fit together. Like ceramic dishes or something. Like my daughter has this little teacup set and it comes with this sort of foam set where it fits in to put it away. You know, it's this, like the packaging that it came in. And so, but there's a really satisfying clink, you know, like clink, when the ceramic little mini teacup sets on the ceramic little what are they called? The
saucer.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
yes.
And so that would be a fun thing for me to initiate if I'm doing improv. I'd be like, oh, listen how the teacup sets on the saucer. Clink, clink. And then someone else in the background sets the clink, and then we can go on from there creating other stuff. And what else is true about that world? You know, if teacups are in that world, what else is in that world? And the other scene partner, instead of, you know, a lot of drama or theater is based on sort of conflict, but in this, you can want the person to agree. So someone's going to come on, hopefully, who can get what I'm saying, who also is interested in that little sound that finds that satisfying. So they'll come on and they'll agree with me, and then they'll see, well, what else, you know, like, oh, and the sound of my knife when I set it onto the napkin.
Clink.
That's great. So if it becomes clink, then everything becomes clink, even though a napkin knife on the thing wouldn't be clink. You know, so, and the sound of drinking, clink, clink. So it becomes that down a game that takes in that direction. If instead someone does a different sound, then it's sort of a game of like, there really isn't anything satisfying about the sound of a knife being set on top of a napkin at all. But the person still feels it, So we can look for more and more things that people probably don't find satisfying that are even less interesting and have people feel enthusiasm for it, which kind of explores why are we interested in that little clicking sound? What is it about that that makes it, you know, satisfying? So what we're ultimately exploring is what are people like? You know, what are human beings like? What are we, instead of the, you know, culture that we're in now where there's never a moment ever for anyone to actually investigate, oh, what is a person, a human being really like? Instead, it's always going to be, oh, we shouldn't be this, we should be that, or whatever. But, you know, what, you know, how horrible are you? how mediocre am I? I don't know, you know, so anything that those things play out. So the first couple moments of a scene play out the rest of the scene. And improv training, as we do it, is hopefully about coming to enjoy that exploration, coming that unfolding of things from the beginning.
Our guests today are folks from Big Blue Door, Joel Jones, Keaton Ray, Rachel Showalter, Marjorie Ruderman, Susan Gorman. This is Rick Moore. Not part of Big Blue Door, just watching it all take place today on WPVC here, 94.7, 17 minutes after the hour. I'm curious, so can all the students tell me how long you've been part of the improv class? Because you've had more than one class. Or Joel, I know that.
Well, these are actually we have three classes, three courses.
Right, I know you've had more. There isn't just like improv level one,
yeah,
right?
There's
more than 101.
Yeah. And these people have all graduated from all three levels, and then we have group performance groups, which once people have graduated from all three levels, so they have similar backgrounds and similar understandings, then they join these teams or groups that we put together that then perform together.
Okay, so everyone's a full course, full three-course graduate.
Yes.
Three-course meal.
Yes. And actually,
excellent.
That's what it's based off
every
of.
Once in a while, some of us will go back and retake.
Yeah.
Class
keep fresh.
Level two and
yeah.
three, because there's always things to learn. Because
fine tuning
is a lot harder than you might think.
I think it's incredibly hard. So
yeah.
People listening, however, may think, whatever, I can do that.
I don't know. I have friends who don't come to the shows because they say it's too stressful to watch us standing up there trying to figure out things to do. We're not stressed out. You shouldn't be stressed out. We're not. So.
See, I just look at it as time to get out there and act like a kid and be silly and make believe, basically, just play pretend.
What made you want to do this, Rachel?
So
what made you want to start?
Yeah. I actually was training in classical theater and Shakespeare in D.C. at the Studio Theater, 2002-ish, and I was not very good at it. I was good, but I was not very good. And they were like, you know, Rachel, you're so in your head. You need to just go take an improv class. Just get out of your head. Try to be present. Try to be more in the moment. And I went to DC Improv and took a class and loved it and never looked back and just kept doing it and doing it because it's so much more fun than reading from a script for me. Just being able to come up with stuff and explore characters and emotions and realities of other people, you know, other characters.
It's so great to be able to play different from yourself.
Yeah. Like
one thing about, especially an actor in contemporary times, because it's so visually based, is you're cast how you look, you know, and always. Improv, it's never that. You can play anything you want to play. I can play, you know, an 11-year-old girl, and I often do.
Yeah.
I never play 11-year-olds. Or old people or whatever, you know, you feel like doing. So it's cool to have that range to be able to explore different points of view.
I love that improv is a team sport. I played sports when I was young, didn't really go that far in them, but doing theater and film, you can be sort of like, you got to worry about yourself and how you get cast and what you do. I do television and film stuff, and it's very much I'm focused on me, but here in improv I get to work with other people, and that was a revelation. Like you gotta support each other and work together. Mm-hmm. And that's one reason I also do it, is to network and work together to create something hilarious and, yeah, try to not be stressed, play around. So,
things are usually better when multiple people are working on them. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a background in theater or any kind of acting, but I have a background in writing, and the most fun writing I've ever done is collaborative, creative writing, because you might think you have the best idea in the world, but actually when you start bouncing ideas, you know, with other people, it's usually funnier and better, and I think that's one of the things that I love about improv, too.
21 minutes after the hour, we're going to take our first break, then come back and do another improv scene. Sorry, that won't be improvisational for me to tell you that, but we'll be right back. All right, Rick Moore here, Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with the Big Blue Door Group. You can find them at bigbluedoor.org. Keaton, Rachel, Susan, Marjorie, and Joel here in the group today. It's a full studio, feet and faces, and everybody doing well. No scrunched up noses. Everybody must have had their bath. So who wants to do their thing? How are we going to start the second?
Do you want to do a group scene?
Sure.
Yeah, that's a group. Give me another word.
How about, see, I can't work. I don't do improv well. How about dishwasher?
Dishwasher. Cool.
Dishwasher.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with Restaurants in America. I'm your host, Gary Tolson, and I've got a wonderful selection of guests for you today. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Misty McSteen, and I'm the top seller of dishwashers at Lowe's in Charlottesville.
Great, Misty. Great to have you on.
My name is Jim Smith. I'm the new face of OxyClean. We're trying to kind of tone it down, go the other direction, keep it real subtle. Thanks for having me here.
You said Jim?
Jim Smith.
Jim. Great, Jim.
My name is Ruth, and I like to make afghans out of dishcloths. I put the yarn in between each hole of the dishcloth and then quilt them all together.
That's great, Ruth.
Yeah, I'm Tracy, and I was a spork in a past life.
Great, Tracy. I wasn't aware that sporks had been around that long. Great. So first, we have some, for Restaurant America, we're talking about trends in dining. Let's go through and talk about what you see for the next quarter for the restaurant industry, new developments that you think might happen.
Well, everybody likes their dishes to be clean, and I can tell you that the Cole Moen dishwasher, model 1614, is on sale right now at Lowe's.
Yeah, that's great. We can't really do actual advertising, but thanks so much.
Well, OxyClean is not just for clothes anymore. It's for dishes and that kind of everything. So restaurants are really going to just start kind of washing everything together all at the same time. It becomes more efficient, right?
What I'm most excited about is the new color line that's coming out in dishcloths at the Dollar Tree. They're going to have blue mixed with orange, which I feel like is just a very complimentary color. I really like it.
That's great, Ruth.
You may not realize that in the Middle Ages, people washed me in streams.
You're a sport.
Yes, they didn't have dishwashers in the Middle Ages, and
they
I was washed in streams.
In the Middle Ages.
I was a very rare specimen, but...
Great. Okay, so we're going to go on with another question here. This is for one of our viewers at home. Surprisingly, we still have them. They're wondering, can you tell us anything like what's a new sauce? What do you see as the sauce, the wasabi sauce of 2018? What's it going to be?
Well, I can tell you right now that wasabi sauce really sticks to your plates, and Lowe's is going to have a sale next week.
We can't really have you continuously pushing products. Let's just go on.
I think one of the new sauces needs to be very, very, very powerful staining material.
Okay, great. That's great, Jim.
And OxyClean. If you use OxyClean,
Ruth, give me something
else.
Everyone's talking about acrylics, and I think that acrylics is a stalwart in the crochet community. So I'm not really worried about anything taking the place of acrylic.
Acrylic sauce?
acrylic fabric.
Yeah, let's just, I'm going to ask you directly, Ruth, name any sauce that isn't wasabi sauce.
Yarn.
Okay.
That's right. She's technically right.
I would like to mention that when I was in the court of Henry VIII, he found me very useful to, spoon up or spork up the juices from his feasts.
And we're going to take a commercial break. Right back with more restaurants in America.
Black Friday.
Yeah.
Black Friday sale.
Oh, my.
Insane.
That was wonderful. I don't know. The 94.7 listeners here on should be anyone driving certainly hit a lane.
Just tuning in.
I mean, that was right. Just tuning in probably is like, what am I listening to?
What is Lowe's doing right now?
I'm hoping to get a discount on Black Friday for my Lowe's plug.
That was wonderful. Keaton Ray, Marjorie Ruderman, Joel Jones, Rachel Showalter, Susan Gorman. I was trying to get people in different ways. Did I get all five?
You got it.
That time, Big Blue Door, Improv. We'll be getting into sketch comedy a little bit later, 11:27 after the hour here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Joel, how long has Big Blue Door been around now?
We are halfway through our sixth season.
Sixth season. And what prompted you to do Big Blue Door?
Well, I moved to New York I was a playwright from Charlottesville, and I moved to New York to be a playwright. And I really missed when I was up there. I had some luck. I was playwright in residence, a company. They were doing did short plays, wrote all these short plays. I used to do stuff with Offstage Theater and Bar Hoppers here in Charlottesville. And coffee houses at Live Arts and things. But there was a company up there, Third Man. They were doing plays of mine every month. It was really cool. But I really missed being able to wear all the hats. You know, I came from this town where I got to direct plays or do sound for plays or do anything because I did something in theater, you know. I don't know if it's like that as much now, but back, I'm old. So I really missed it. So a friend took me to an improv show. It was during the writer's strike. It was a UCB show, Upright Citizens Brigade. And I was just amazed. It wasn't so much the show was great, but the way that they dealt with the audience, it was so effective. They didn't try to crush the energy of the audience and then start again, which is what almost all theater tries to do that I had been involved in. Instead, they just like took what was there and just flipped it and used it. And I was just so impressed by that and how comfortable they were on stage. And they weren't, you know, like there wasn't that sort of, that Keaton mentioned, that kind of competitive undertone that is in theater that I'd always noticed with actors, where they have to be nice to each other, but they also are competing with each other. Anyway, this is longer than I intended. But so I started taking classes there, and I was really impressed by the education system, the way they taught it, especially this place, Magnet Theater, this guy Armando Diaz. And my wife and I were talking about, well, I mean, I married her there. Well, I married her here, but we... Anyway, it's too complicated. But anyway, we got married at the time I was living there. We both were living in New York. And we're talking eventually of moving back to Charlottesville and how great it would be to bring some of these classes back and some of these educational systems. They work so much better. You know, all the art classes I'd ever taken were lecture, do it, critique. And it's not very effective. That isn't how you teach people to be a plumber. It's not how you teach people to be a carpenter. It's not, I mean, it works in the humanities to a degree because you're teaching people how to make arguments. That's the point of the, you know, of the skill. But with the art, it just seemed weird to try to teach people that way because that's not what you're not trying to have arguments about art. You're trying to get people to do the thing. So I was always wanting to do this. And then we wanted to have a baby. And then when we got pregnant really quick, or she did. I didn't do anything, hardly.
An efficient and important point to that. But
yeah. So anyway, so we decided to move down here, and I knew we talked about moving somewhere and teaching improv, and I had family here to help with the baby, and we knew enough people that it would be a good place to get started, to have some students or have some interest. When I moved down, I taught True Stories at the Bridge, and I taught improv at Live Arts for about a year, and then we started our own stuff, moved over, had various studios and things ever since, to make a short story long.
Well, 6 years, I think, for many businesses would be considered successful. So congratulations on that. Well done.
Well, I have to say, and this, I hesitate to say this because the people are here. We really have been successful in recent years because we have such awesome people coming and joining what we do. Like the people in this room, almost the people. They're really awesome. And some of the other people, too, just the years have worked with us. And we've really found a whole community here that have created themselves using us like a mattress. I don't know.
Like Frankenstein's monster.
Well, it's 31 after the hour, and I'm having a great morning. I'm glad you brought everyone that you did. One of the other things that you do at Big Blue Door is sketch writing, sketch comedy, correct?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sketch writing is a way of writing. It's a kind of like improv. It's a very effective way of writing without writer's block, without these real problems that writers have, specifically knowing how to beat out a scene once you have an idea for a scene, and how to develop scenes even from anything, really. So sketch writing, like the thing we just improvised, if you were to write it out as a sketch, you would, you know, tighten each character and what their voice was and have them, you know, say similar things each time. We work on the art of writing that, of how you do it. Marjorie's done it before, taken it before. And it's a pretty cool approach to writing that's very different from other stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Marjorie, tell me, I want to know why you got into Big Blue Door, and then tell me about sketch writing.
You know, I had never seen improv, but for some reason, even though I didn't really know what it was, I had it in the back of my head for a few years that I wanted to do it. And then I am a member of Writer House in town, a writing center, and there was a class that Joel and another member of Big Blue Door offered on Debbie Prum and Joel offered a workshop on improv for writers. And I took it, and I found it incredibly helpful for sort of loosening up my writer's brain and being a little freer in my writing and idea generation. And the improv games we did in that workshop were incredibly fun. And
herbs for that too.
There are. I won't discuss that on air. So Debbie convinced me, even though I was terrified of it, to sign up for improv class, and I've been taking them every chance I get ever since. And then sketch comedy, I've taken twice. Just because it's fun and hard.
Yeah, we've always hoped to have working on getting more venues or more stable venues, so that Steve O'Coffey's been awesome, but all our other venues have somehow, you know, rotated. And we used to do stuff at Bond, and Bond closed, and I just put a word out there that it's nice that restaurants have chosen this sort of minimalist concrete interior thing, but it's terrible acoustics. So we used to be able to do shows in bars all over the place, you know, 20 years ago, and now you can't because the acoustics in every place are terrible. But not that we need it perfectly, but perfect. So the sketch program is more of a germ than, or not a germ. What is it called in a good way? A
little bacteria.
A virus.
Yeah, a virus.
Probiotic.
It's more like a deadly virus that's going to wipe out humanity.
It's a plague.
But we'll all be laughing our ways to our death.
But we love to have
my wife's going to make me get one of those 99% things that wipe on my hands before I can go.
Purell. You should shower in that after this.
I always feel dirty after sketches.
Cool. Yeah. The sketch writing thing is just we want to expand it to eventually have sketch shows. We'd love to have, you know, think of all the stuff that's happened in Charlottesville the last year.
I can't think of anything.
No.
Well, such a quiet town.
It is a quiet town.
Yeah.
We had a new restaurant open, and Lowe's has a sale. So that's what's happening. I want to point out that there's a traffic circle out here, which just kills me every time I come
out. Oh, my God, it's the worst.
they have a traffic circle here. How could they do that? It's like Europe.
What's the deal with traffic circles?
It's like watermelons.
What's the deal?
So we want to have more of that, but we have to. So we're always working towards that. As our shows have really worked incredibly, you full house every show in the fall, pretty much.
Does Live Arts originally did Bar Hoppers, correct?
No, Offstage Theater. Offstage Theater is kind of forgotten now, but they still, I think, officially exist. They started a year before Live Arts, and they did Bar Hoppers, and they did other site-specific plays, originally a lot of them. They did like three or four shows a year in different places. They did a, there used to be a furniture store where the party starts here. They did a wonderful show there at different locations.
What's Bar Hoppers?
La Difference was there.
Yeah, yeah, La Difference. They did shows where you do little, they had these short 15-minute plays at different locations.
Bar Hoppers was awesome.
Was it like Gorilla Improv?
That's how I met you and your wife. I loved Bar Hoppers.
Bar Hoppers was site original, almost all original, short one scene or one act plays set in bars that were performed in bars. And we did it at Miller's when the Miller's was still open in the front, and at Rapture. And we usually hop it to different places. And we did it for 25 years. I mean, it was really
still
successful.
Still going on?
Now it takes place
at AA groups.
Yeah. They did one a couple years ago. They, 2 years
basement.
Ago, they brought it back and did a Bar Hoppers. They haven't. Bree Luck, who was artistic director of Offstage briefly, did Bar Hoppers there and did something else. And then she was hired as the artistic director of Live Arts. So there's no one to really do it. We've thought about taking it on, but it's... yeah, it was a fantastic, unique cultural thing in Charlottesville that happened forever, and I loved it. I wrote for it every year. So
I remember I took Sketch 2 years ago when I was just starting out, and you were encouraging us to submit it to Bar Hoppers.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I think is awesome.
So one thing about our improv and our storytelling is we always tie our classes with performance opportunities. So you can do it just for the class. You don't have to do a lot, and we want you to do a little bit of performance just because. Performing in front of people is one of the most frightening things for human beings, and just having a better sense of how that works will just liberate you in a very fundamental way, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But also, we like to have other opportunities for people who really want to perform, or we want to have a chance for you to keep doing that. And with the sketch, we don't have places in Charlottesville to submit plays or short scenes or sketches, so that's why we haven't really emphasized that as much, other than to offer a workshop now and then so people can just get a taste of what it's like and how cool it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I miss Bar Hoppers. Susan, can you tell me a little bit about why you got involved in Big Blue Door and improv?
I mentioned the Charlottesville Derby Dames. I used to skate with them and be involved with that team, and then it started to wind down for me, and so I just had free time on my hands, and I was looking for something to do. A good friend of mine, Rosemary Harper, did improv for a long time with Big Blue Door, and she suggested I signed up for it, and so I did. And I've been doing it for almost 2 years, I think.
Susan also has done True Stories with us.
Well. Yep, I've done True Stories.
Yes, the sketch writing class.
Yeah, I did take sketch writing
That's
also
right.
twice.
Yeah, yeah.
With Marjorie, I guess.
Yes,
I was there, but
no.
I have not
taken
it.
The Big Blue Stories, I mean, the Telling True Stories class, yes, is that actually has been one of my favorite classes. I've taken that a couple times. It's like the moth.
Having so much fun, I forgot to tell you what in the world we're doing here. It's Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, 94.7 WPVC. Rick Moore here with the folks from Big Blue Door. Joel Jones leading the group. Rachel Showalter, Susan Gorman, Keaton Ray, Marjorie Ruderman. Let's take a break and we'll come back. How about another improv?
Sure.
Everybody up for that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, we are back in action with the Big Blue Door folks. And let's turn everybody's microphone on. Everybody here?
Are we on?
Present.
Present.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Let's go down the line. We have Marjorie Ruderman.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm here.
We have Rachel Showalter.
Yo.
Keaton Ray. Keaton, why did you get involved?
I have been doing film and television for a while, and I just needed that live action theater stuff. And all of my favorite comedians and actors, actually, when I looked into it, had done improv, mainly in Chicago and New York. And I was like, so I need that.
So you're a copycat.
Exactly.
Good to know.
Great artist steal, right?
From Disney on Ice.
I'm a cool copycat.
We have Susan Gorman.
Hello.
And we have Joel Jones.
Hey.
Hey. Are we up for another improv?
Yeah, no, montage. You want to do a monoscene? Montage.
I don't know what mono scene.
Oh, okay. Let's do montage then. So we don't have black. We can't do editing here. So I'll just do blackout. I'll say blackout means that you get your viewers have to imagine
that somebody cursed.
Or I could do a bell. I could do, what else?
That
I
means
just
the
do,
scenes.
That
over.
Means the scene. So we're gonna do a montage, down. Which is a bunch of little scenes. and then I'll do blackouts to cut between them, and I'll tell you when it's done. How about that? So we'll run this maybe 6 minutes, 7 minutes.
No, that's great. So right. Bell means we're switching to another scene?
No, a blackout means we're switching to another scene. I'll say blackout.
Okay. All right.
Good? Yeah.
All right.
Blackout.
End scene.
End scene. Oh, I'll say end scene. You like that? End scene. Well, we'll see what happens. All right, let's give this another word. How about that?
Oh, so you want a word from me?
Yes.
Okay, and we're going to do...
How about this? How about a piece of advice someone's given you recently?
Dream.
Dream. Both advice and a word.
Dream.
Dream. Thank you.
Lights up.
Oh my God, you guys. I was just having this crazy, crazy dream. Like, you were there, and oh my gosh, it was so weird, but like, this like smoke monster was coming for me, and like, it was just, oh dude, I'm just...
You want a mimosa? I'm making mimosas for the brunch this morning.
That would be amazing.
Awesome.
Oh my God, like, was it really like me, or was it like not me, but still me?
Oh my God, the smoke monster's right there! Can you tell me you see him?
And scene.
You know what? I love to laugh loud, dance like nobody's watching, and dream like I've never dreamed before on a beach.
I always dream like I've never dreamed before on a beach. I like to keep it novel.
Are you guys done with the copy machine? I gotta step up here next.
I'm copying like I've never copied before.
And laugh like we'll never laugh again. Like nobody's watching.
I just gotta make like
two copies.
Stop
watching. It's hard to pretend nobody's watching when you're watching us.
You know what your problem is? You don't dream.
I can dream in 3 weeks when we have Christmas, but I got work to do, okay?
Well, I'm
step
just
aside,
gonna dance
okay?
Like I've never danced before, and I don't care about your copy machine needs.
I'm not done Xeroxing my butt, and I'd be happy to move when I am.
And scene.
I was drawing from real life.
I was drawing from real life too. I just drew myself. This is me. A picture of me. Drawing me.
I love when you draw you. Because you just have such insight into yourself. It's not like when other people draw you and they just draw what they see.
You mean you, like me, or you mean you?
Yes, all of those.
Oh, well, thanks, Miss McClinic.
Oh my God, I just had this crazy dream. It was like super meta where like I was a kid and like I was talking about like drawing myself and it was just so weird, man.
You want a Bloody Mary? I'm making Bloody Marys.
Please,
now.
Yes.
And sing.
Dream, 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 dream.
Dream, dream, dream. Guys, I really need to use the copy machine.
And see. All right. How about that?
I want to know how many Bloody Marys and mimosas you guys had before you showed up.
I think I mentioned before.
Not enough.
Weird, because most of us have, except for Keaton, as far as he knows, we have had children or had children. I mean, we still have the children. But so this is not early morning for us.
No,
this
I've been up
not,
for hours.
No, wake up for us.
Speak for your own family. This is early
you have teenagers.
For me to be out of pajamas.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking about when Marjorie was talking earlier about having never done improv but being drawn to it. And I do feel like raising children, like, you kind of have to be playful and in the moment. And, you know, it's you're improvising every day with your kids, and they're natural improvisers. So if you don't meet them at that level, there's going to be conflict.
Yeah, I'm going to do stuff with a cigarette you won't believe unless you sit down and shut up.
That's right.
Exactly.
And scene.
There's nothing funnier than child abuse.
Oh, jeez.
What's the deal with
and
child
on
abuse?
Next wake-up call.
Actually, it's funny. I didn't play that much with my kids. I love playing. Like, I think of improv as playing, which is what I love about it. But, yeah, with my...
But being silly. And,
being silly, yeah. Okay, yeah, I was silly with my
organized
kids.
Organized silliness.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I play
silliness.
With my daughter a lot. We play a lot.
Mm-hmm. You just want to put the tea set back together.
Can we play tea set again?
Daddy, why do we always have to play things that have funny sounds?
Dad's lost in the sound again.
Mom, Dad keeps pulling out the tea set that you told me to put away.
Look at you, Rick, improvising.
Yay, Rick. And scene.
11:47 here on Sunday morning wake-up call, WPVC. We got the folks on from Big Blue Door. Joel Jones, Marjorie Ruderman, Susan Gorman, Rachel Showalter, Keaton Ray, as we have everybody on. Having fun here on Sunday morning wake-up call. Next week, McCall Dempsey here. We'll be talking about eating disorders. No improv about that.
Yeah, that's a very serious,
subject.
What if that show is funnier than this one?
I talked with McCall earlier in the week about, you know, what we're going to talk about, things that were important to her. And believe me, there will be no or very few jokes about that. Anyway, so back to the topic at hand.
Which is barf, right?
So, you gotta have your ups to have your downs.
There's so much comic material.
I'm trying so hard to keep it down. I just can't.
Dying to offend people right now.
I should have brought that up and then gone on break.
It is skinny hair.
Fortunately, she's not listening to the program.
Thank
on her
God
drive.
For
one
she
more joke.
Never again.
A couple more jokes. A few more.
Get it out.
Joel, I went to the Big Blue Door website, bigbluedoor.org.
Sure.
And fundraising campaign?
You know, we are not, we don't really do normal fundraising. We have a project that was long on hold. Last year for our True Stories thing, we did a bunch of interviews with local law enforcement and in order to create a play based on law enforcement. And then appearances and feelings about law enforcement changed so rapidly over the course of the following 6 months. And we did it for that reason. We were like, how do we create a better relationship with law enforcement? Mm-hmm. Asking them to come sit at our community meetings or whatever is what we've been doing since the 1980s. It clearly doesn't work that way. It's not an effective strategy. So let's try to reverse it. You know, if you're listening to someone, that's a way of establishing power over them, and the police work for the city and the city works for us. So let's collect their stories, which helps create a more appropriate relationship with the police. And then we're trying to raise money for it. We raised some, enough to pay for the interviews, but not anywhere close to enough to put on the play or stage the play. Melissa Wender did it, and I guess this is a lot, but it was amazing to like come up with a strategy of how we're going to explain to people why they should give us money for this, and then the Klan came to town, and that's out of date. Okay, let's revamp everything to explain this, and then something else happens, and then you know everything kept changing in terms of that. So we don't know what to do with it. Thanks for asking, though.
Well.
You know what's funny? Failed fundraising projects. Mm. What's the deal with fundraising?
Things we've been doing since the 80s. That's funny.
That is funny.
You're wearing a scrunchie and leg warmers. The
I'm
listeners
right
can't
now.
See that.
Yeah. Got my,
sure, if you want to go into... there are plenty of closets we can go into and find...
Jars of barf.
I can't. That was weighing on the brain.
Rachel Showalter. Rachel Showalter at gmail.com.
Oh, my God.
You do have a storytelling.
We have a storytelling class coming up. That's a wonderful six-session course. Susan's never taken it or any other classes with it. It's starting in January. So we have that going on. We're excited about that. We also have Improv 1. We're going to have a special Saturday improv that we haven't run that for a couple years. So people want to do that and are available Saturdays. That'll start in January. And I think we have one of our performers not here today. Nadair might be teaching that on Saturdays. So it's an exciting thing. And we have our winter teams will be starting up, including all the people in this room, I hope.
Can I just say with the improv one, it's awesome, and I have so many people that are like, I'm not funny, I can't take it. But you don't have to be funny. That's the thing. You're not trying to be funny. Right. And you do such a good job at like portraying that. Like it's 101, don't be nervous, just come.
I love when shy people take it. Mm. I love it when smart people, when people who aren't funny, and some of the best improv anyone ever does is the first few scenes that they do in a level one class because they listen so well and they're so like into it.
It's true.
It's like being live, you know. You're they're so like, oh my gosh, what's going on around me? And it's fantastic. It's really a fantastic course. I didn't invent it. It's all came from Armando Diaz. He trained me to be a teacher, and so it's just to me, you know, most amazing stuff, you know, that to teach and to have a chance. I think everyone should take it. It just deconstructs performance, what it's about. It takes away the, you know, that mystery about charismatic people and what they're doing, and it gives, and especially people who are shy can really do improv very, very well in a way that you can't necessarily sell a pop song, you know, if you're a shy person, but you can be a great improviser.
And it's not really about going out and telling jokes, which is
right, and that's the one thing that's
kind of a relief.
That we've learned is, and because you think in your head, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to slay him with this amazing joke, and you tell it, and everybody just sits there and looks at you, and it's the worst feeling in the world. So it's not about being funny.
That's Susan's experience.
That's most of my jokes.
Yeah, so take our classes for the worst feeling in the world. No, but everyone wants to be funny, and we're wondering how to do it. But, you know, if we want to teach people instead to notice when something's funny and do more of it. So when I said the thing earlier about watermelons, if it hadn't been gotten a laugh, and I don't know why it did, I just noticed that it did. And so we repeated that same pattern. And so you're learning to notice things are funny, and that expands people's range. So if instead you're in your head trying to, oh, what's a funny thing to say, then you're mostly taking something from someone else, whether, you know, something you saw on TV, someone you saw a stand-up say, and then repeating it. Whereas when you're really listening to the person next to you, things explode out of that relation, that interaction. And that's, you know, creates this whole universe that you've never been in before each time.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between you have a storytelling and a Trouville?
Trouville was collecting oral histories from police officers, and we wanted to do oral histories from other people. The rest of our whole program is pays for itself, audiences and students taking classes pay for everything. The oral history projects have not, that's dependent on fundraising, so we only do it when we have enough money to do it, and we aren't big fundraisers. We're not devoting our time and trying to reorient the organization so it looks right to donors, which is what a 501c3 normally has to do. But, you know, so we love to have people give us a bunch of money, and we'll do much more oral histories. But right now, a lot of people in town are already doing oral histories, so that's a good thing. So we're happy when other people are doing stuff like that.
Again, our guests from Big Blue Door, Rachel, Keaton, Susan, Marjorie, and Joel, 11:54. So we're going to have about 4 minutes left. Can we do another improv in that time?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What would you like to do?
Are there any short games that come across?
Yeah, what would be a good one? What could we do for a game? Do you have an idea? We could just do a scene. You want to do another group scene?
We could do that's a great idea.
Give me another suggestion or anything.
Perfection.
Perfection. Welcome to Thanksgiving, Henry's. We're happy to have our annual get together.
Hello.
Sit down. Come in. Sit down.
Oh, I've been looking forward all year to Thanksgiving, Henry's.
Oh, Henry's.
It's good to be here. So grateful for all of you, and, well, thankful. That's a proper word, I guess.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, I'm looking forward to the stuffing balls the most.
Oh, love. I love the stuffing, especially when you make it with your great-grandma's recipe.
I always use my great-grandmother's grand...
They worked on it together, you know. It's a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
There's a dispute of which one was... It's a 60-40 split with them.
You know, that's what led to the divorce.
It's
It's very sad.
It's cranberry based.
And of course, my grandma ceased to become a Henry at that point.
Oh, it's a tragic one. I'm so sorry, but the 60-40, was that the recipe contribution or the stuffing ratio of cornbread to white bread?
That too is in dispute.
Different strokes for different folks. Well, sit down. Let's pour some of this delicious apple cider.
Could you fill my glass? Oh, 60%, please. Just a little over half.
What is that, 60% full or 40% empty? Oh. We have this fight every year.
Oh, Wanda, you really do know how to bring out the silliness in our group.
You're the funster of the Henrys.
Oh, yes. Well, it's the role I've been fulfilling for a long time, and I enjoy it very much.
I can tell.
Silly.
Yes, the blue word earring is amusing.
The earring?
The earring.
Yes. It's,
We knew that you'd bring one of your silly earrings.
Yes, especially. I love how clever you are, because it's not a turkey, but a bluebird.
Yes, actually, it is 60% blue jay, 40% blue bird, but let's not have that fight again, shall we?
The stuffing's ready.
Oh, I just love those stuffing bowls. Can you just give me one, please? Right.
Stuffing bowls?
All right, our friend from Big Blue Door.
People are going to turn off the radio.
That show's over.
The other thing you learn about improv is it doesn't always work.
Well, you know what's next
that
is the...
That was about 60% awesome, 20% not.
What's up next is the Hispanic music. So they turned it on and went, what in the world? Do I have the right station?
The old ladies.
So what's going on now? We got about 30 seconds. What classes are going on now?
This Tuesday we have a sketch writing workshop. So it's a two-session workshop. So just to give you a taste of sketch comedy, we'll look at some sketches and how they're constructed and teach you how to do that. And then we have one more show before the year's out in December, the third Thursday in December. Is a show called Dish, which is Nadair and Brian and their pals will be coming to do interviews and deconstructing stuff, do deconstructing interviews. And then in January, we have our Improv 1 class starting, a Telling True Stories class starting, and our full fall teams, including Feminine Hijinks, I think will be returning in some version back again.
All right. Thanks to our folks from Big Blue Door, Joel Jones, Marjorie Ruderman, Susan Gorman, Rachel Showalter, and Keaton Ray. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks
for having us, Rick.
Off to the traffic circle.
Having the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the wake-up call. Only on WPVC-LP Charlottesville.